The man on the hunt for the best Zamboni driver in Saskatchewan, amongst many other things, Clayton Croker, our guest on the podcast this week. Clayton, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Leroy. Just hanging out in the basement with my dog. My wife's putting the kid to bed, so life's good.
Our dogs are almost the spitting image of each other. Only mine can see.
Oh, thanks. That's how you want to start this? Hey, you want to start with my dog can see and yours can't? But yeah, my dog, she was, I think, 6 months, 7 months old, and she started losing her eyes. Her tear ducts stopped working. So we did all these procedures and all these creams and drops, and nothing worked. So yeah, she lost her eyes when she was around one. She's six now, and she's the best dog ever. So my dog could beat your dog in a sniffing test. So how about that? There we go.
I bet 100%. Every time I saw the first time I saw her pop up, I was like, oh my goodness, that looks just like my dog. But she's not opening her eyes. So then I realized quickly to point it out that she
she's just
blind.
A squinty dog, right? It's really bright outside. The thing is, again, she's a chocolate lab, right? So usually they have brown eyes, so you don't really see. She does so well that she kind of catches kids off guard. So when we're walking at the park, it's just like, oh, why is she running into the boards at the ODR? Hey, well, is your dog oh, she's blind. And then some, like, you know how kids are. They'll, like, go to their parents, like, mommy, that dog's scary. You're just like, ah, your kids. It's fine, right? I'll just, you know, whatever. I'll hate talk you on the way home.
Fair enough. So you just kind of got started with Creator Aid, a company that's got you doing all kinds of social media stuff, but came from a long career of radio before that, right?
Yeah, got my start in radio. I think it was 2012, 2011, the big shift in Yorkton, 12 to 6 a.m., the graveyard shift, Tuesdays to Sundays. In Yorkton, though, like in GX94 in Yorkton, they have this show called the Saturday Night Get Together. So they play basically like barn polka music from like 9 to 12. It's a big deal, man. And like I was in Superstore one day and someone's like, are you the Saturday Night Get Together guy? That was the one time I got recognized from radio in like 8 years, was doing the Saturday Night Get Together in Yorkton. It was a really, really big show. But yeah, from there I went to Estevan and then spent like 11 years in Saskatoon on the radio doing the country radio thing, the classic rock thing. And now I'm doing the washed up radio, hanging out, doing a podcast, making silly videos across the province thing. So,
listen, as a former radio guy as well for 18 years, isn't it more fun?
Oh, you have no idea. Like, you have no idea how much more fun this is, because you don't have a program director that's always sitting there like, well, you know, that could be a little bit better. That could be a little tighter. The client would want this, right? But at the same time, like, you just have so much more freedom to be like, oh, there's no one there to say like, oh, no to your stupid ideas. Like, I'm trying to find the best Zamboni driver in Saskatchewan. What program director at a radio station would be like, yeah, that's a great idea, man. No, that's just stupid, right? But look at it, right? It's kind of taken off and people are recognizing me for it. Ah, that sounds like such a douchebag thing. That's the one thing I don't like about doing the social media stuff, though, is when like people are like, oh, can I take your photo? When I was just a radio guy, no one really cared. But now that I'm doing Zamboni videos, everyone's like, oh, take a picture and do this. So
that's awesome. How many rinks have you made it out to so far?
I'm at about 11, I think. I just went to, it's hard to keep track now, my goodness. Watrous was awesome. Watrous has curly fries at their rink, and I don't know why more places don't have curly fries at their rinks. Like, it seems like a pretty big oversight. Some places are starting to get tots and that kind of thing, but curly fries, in my opinion, are just way better than any other fries. It's not even close. Like, the jump from curly fries to crinkle cut, like, more rinks start getting curly fries, right? But I was just in Humboldt, actually, the old Elgar Peterson Arena there, just a legendary barn. The stands are like this at a like 60, 70 degree angle. You feel like you're right on top of the ice. Game 7 SJHL playoffs. And yeah, I got kids gambling on the time too. It's like, oh, over under 9:30, right? I'll put $5 on that action. So it kind of turned into its own little fun thing on the side. I'm timing the Zamboni drivers.
I love it. Who's in the lead so far? Who's got the best Zamboni driver up to now?
Well, there's a couple different categories, right? There's the time. So fastest guy right now, that's Kirk out in Cudworth. He had like a 5:25 lap time, which is insane. But then if you look at the Cudworth rink, I think it's like, it's so tiny. It's like my base. It's basically like Ricky's rink from that one episode of Trailer Park Boys. Like, that's Cudworth's rink. That's how small it is. Hey, so he was really, really fast. But when it comes down to like actual precision and actual like, man, Ashton and Humboldt was pretty good. This minimal overlap in the straightaways there, nice tight turns as well. He had really, really good form for an up and comer. He hadn't been doing it that long. But Pickout and Wynyard, shout out Pickett and Wynyard. He's been doing it for like 44 years. His lap time was also insane. It was like 6:30 or something like that. And he also runs the golf course during the summer. So he runs the golf course, runs the rink, works like 14-hour days. And yeah, his shoveling technique, he might be up there in age, but his shoveling technique, you'd think he is like 23 years old shoveling coal in the steam engine again, man. This guy, he didn't mess around, that Pick guy.
Just flawless, hey?
Oh, man, he was just a beauty, too. His rink helper, Terry, you can tell they're just, I think they're brothers. They might be like, you know, the small town brothers where they're just like, you know, neighbors, but they're just ended up being brothers forever. But they work the rink together, and Terry's like the net guy that leans the net up against the boards. Nice 45-degree angle on the nets, doesn't get the snow on the ice as well. Like, I'm taking these Zamboni videos pretty seriously. At the start, it was just a big joke, and now we have actual terms that we made up and actual things we look for, so.
You need to try and get to Lang, Saskatchewan, and check out their Zamboni. Have you seen theirs?
I saw your video. That was the one with the drawbridge or whatever it's called. Oh, yeah, going down there, where you almost biffed it. Hey, you almost you almost lost your tailbone. Maybe even both of them on that one. Hey, but I heard, isn't that one like they pull by hand?
Oh yeah, I had the chance to do part of it. I'm not very good at it. You do it on skates. It's like a giant barrel that they literally pull around the rink to.
It looks like a barbecue. Like, it looks like one of those barbecues that you bring to a slow pitch tournament or something like that. And then you got some guy that just gets stuck dragging it around. How long? What was their lap time, do you think?
Long, very, very long. At least when I was doing it, it was very not straight as well.
Yeah. If you miss a strip, you don't really want to go back, because if you miss a strip on a normal Zamboni, whatever, I'm just driving back. No, and now you got to like jog, get to that strip back there. No, there's another rink, Cupar, Saskatchewan. Cupar's got like basically a tractor with just a Zamboni part. It's kind of like Frankenstein on the back there. Langham used to have kind of one of those rinks. But yeah, it's like an old, it's an old John Deere or a Massey Ferguson. I don't know the exact model, but they got it dragging around the ice there. I think their lap time's like 17 and a half minutes. It's a slow one, but now you don't see the old tractor Zambonis anymore, but Cupar still got it.
I love it. That's fantastic. You also searched Saskatoon for the best noodle bowl. Mm-hmm. How many noodle bowls did you consume there?
I was on an absolute heater, I'm not going to lie. So I had like 4 noodle bowls a week for a good month. Like, I was averaging 4 noodle bowls a week, and it was getting bad. So like the last 2 noodle bowls, they were still tasty, right? Like, they still tasted really good, but they just didn't at the same time, where it's like, I want to enjoy this, but I don't enjoy this. So then I needed to take a break. So now I'm doing wings. But man, the amount of good noodle bowl places in Saskatoon, and I know all the Regina people right now are going to be like, oh, we have just as many. No, you don't, Regina people. Like, we got Mi Hong on 51st Street is just a dangerous place. Like, if you like those old 90s divey places that has, like, you know, like the turquoise and teal kind of booths that Taco Bell used to have back in the day. Oh, yeah. That's what this place has. Like, it's just like, it screams 1997, but in a good way, right? And then you got a bunch of newer places in Stonebridge that are doing like the new school thing. And I don't know, just the restaurant scene in Saskatoon. I remember, are you a big Dragon's Den guy? Do you ever watch the show Dragon's Den?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like the Tree Living guy? I remember one time there was an episode there where he was like, man, if you want to open up a restaurant, go to Saskatoon. And if you can succeed in Saskatoon, you can succeed anywhere because it has the most restaurants per capita or something like that. Hmm. This episode, it was like 12 years ago. It's one of those quotes that stuck with me all this time. I always bring it up in the Saskatoon versus whoever debate, right? So the food scene here is amazing. If you're from, again, Moose Jaw or Lanigan or PA or wherever, you're coming to Saskatoon for a little weekend away in the big city. The food scene here, it's actually really, really good. And I went to a bunch of good places, so check it out.
What's your like best recommendation coming to town for the weekend? Like, one place I need to go to.
Oh, there's a lot of them. So like, are you talking noodle bowls or are you talking
just like, I want to go out for like a good dinner in Saskatoon.
Good dinner in Saskatoon. See, I'm one of those guys, like, I'm a Big Murs and Dunduran kind of guy. Like, those are my kind of vibes. I like dive bars that are in strip malls. I don't know why, like, strip mall lounges are always so, like, that's my kind of thing, right? Where the lounge doubles as the VLT room. There's no second area. They're just out in the open, right? Like, that, those are the kind of places I like. So if I were to tell people, like, Mr. Ribs or Manhattan Gastropub, like, people in Saskatoon are laughing right now. They're like, don't tell them to go there. But honestly, Congress Beer House downtown is always a fan favorite. There's that restaurant. I forget what's in the Rainy Modern now, but it's a really, really fancy one. Broadway has Odla or Oodla. I don't know how to pronounce it. Again, I'm not the fancy restaurant guy. You want the dive bars. I can, like, Black Cat Tavern has all you can eat pizza on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and it is dangerous. And sometimes there's some really good punk shows there too. Prairie Sun Brewery has good vibes inside. That's where you want to go. Food's hit or miss, but they got a lot of good local beers there, and it's like five different sections. It's kind of a cool little spot if you're looking for like a big group thing. I know you're a big deal with all your celebrity friends and all your, and all, you know, you probably got a big entourage wherever you go. So if you want a big room or something like that, Congress and Prairie Sun are good. But Yard and Flagon and O'Shea's for rooftop patio. You seem like a rooftop patio kind of guy. I don't know why. Like in my Noodle videos, I talk about
rooftop
those,
patio in the summertime.
I talk about those plastic cups and how like plastic cups make beverages taste 10 times better. Rooftop patios make memories like 10 times better. They make food taste 5 times better. There's something about a nice rooftop patio, and Saskatoon's got two really good ones.
Speaking of the plastic cups, did you legit get sent some of those plastic cups from the manufacturer?
Oh yeah. Some people accuse me of being like, no, buddy, you just went out and bought those. It's like, first of all, like, no, like, I didn't even know restaurant supply stores existed before that video. I just thought like you needed like a special restaurant license or something. Like, you needed like a restaurant badge or in the restaurant union or something to get all these restaurant things. There are literally three stores in Saskatoon. You could just walk in and buy them. Like, I had no idea. Restaurant industry stuff, that's all over the place. You just had to do a quick Google. But I had been, you know, mentioning these plastic cup things because it's kind of true. Whenever you see those places with the plastic cups, you know, the ones that you scratch on the side, kind of like the Pizza Hut, lunch buffet, red cups, yeah. Right? Man, whenever you see a place that has those cups, it's like, this is going to be, it's not going to be that generic food. It's just going to be good, unique, homemade, made with love kind of food. And I started kind of making it into a thing, plastic cup revolution. And next thing you know, Cambro, which is like the big U.S. kitchen distributor of all things plastic, they start commenting on it. And they're like, hey, can we use your videos? Like, they use a couple of my videos on their Instagram for advertising, and people underneath, like, they have like 100,000 followers on TikTok, like another 100,000 on Instagram. And it's a kitchen restaurant supply company that makes plastic stuff, but their social media game's fantastic. So people in the comments are like, oh yeah, Cambro, you did it again. And it's like, no, that was me, guys. that was all me right there. Hey. So, but yeah, if you need any plastic utensils, dishware, whatever, I'm your guy. I got ins at Cambro now.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Those remind me of Bonanza. Do you guys have a Bonanza up there?
I used to go, like, you know, the soft serve ice cream they had at Bonanza.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah. Serve,
which, by the way, places that do that and you're like a kid restaurant, why? Like, well, you know what's going to happen, right? So I would go, I'd get the plastic cup, I would go bottom level cookie, and then I'd go ice cream, and then another cookie, ice cream, and then like fudge, and then, you know, nuts or Oreos, ice, and I just make that level in the plastic cup, right? So I was like, that's your fifth soda, Clayton? No, Mom, this is a plastic cup sundae here, and I just sit there and go to town on it. Bonanza. People still bring up Bonanza to this day in Saskatoon because ours burnt down. Like, your guys, you're shut down, right? Yeah, the one in Moose
Jaw closed, but ours was around for a long time. Like, it was probably 5-6 years ago it finally closed down, but it was there forever.
Like, every other Bonanza shut down in like 1998, but the Saskatchewan Bonanzas, they stuck around for an unusually long time afterwards, where it's like, it's kind of like what Robin's Donuts is now, where there's like a few rogue Robin's Donuts hanging around. It's kind of the same with the Bonanzas. There was the PA one, the Moose Jaw one, and yeah, then the Saskatoon one burnt down. I still got a 2-for-1 salad bar coupon. And I hold on. I got a matchbook. I got a whole little museum of Bonanza stuff in the junk drawer.
My last trip to Bonanza, And Moose Jaw, I remember looking up at the lights and there was like dirt and dead bugs in them. And I thought, I don't know that this place is going to be around for much longer.
Wait, but they got $8.99 steaks every single day. You know, that's a pretty good salad bar as well. You can't complain. But I will always remember the Moose Jaw Bonanza, because after, this is going to sound very Uncle Rico of me, the Kinsmen Raiders back in 2005 won the provincial title over Moose Jaw. We celebrated at the Bonanza there. So you always remember good memories at Bonanza. Hey, you always remember the good ones there. That sounded, again, just so, that's my second douchey comment of the podcast right there, with the getting noticed and bringing up my Pee Wee Provincial Football Championship. What a loser.
It's a great place to go celebrate as a team, though, especially when you're a kid, right? Like, all you can eat, whatever is on the salad bar, which
you're filling the cups up with soft serve. Yeah, how can you not have a good time? Again, there was no supervision at that dessert station. They were just letting kids go. It was just the wild, wild west. Just everything was so sticky after that. Just sauces ever. I shout out to the people who used to have to like clean Bonanza up, because every single Pee Wee hockey team, baseball team, they would completely destroy that place.
Man, I remember like just the whole buffet vibe used to be way bigger than it is now. I remember every time we went down to, we'd go to like Minot for a family vacation.
Why not?
And go to the Royal Fork Buffet. That was like the must visit place. It was just a giant buffet restaurant.
Would you ever have like competitions with how many pieces of pizza you could eat, or how many ours was always like chicken balls, because chicken balls are always at the buffet. Hey, we would say, how many chicken balls can you guys eat? We'd have like a hockey game 3 hours later, and yet we're putting down 30 chicken balls trying to have a big competition at the buffet. That was always our thing, was having like, you know, our Joey Chestnut moment, having our own little eating competitions. When you were 12, 13 years old, like buffets were the best, man. Like unscrewing the salt shakers to mess with your buddies, and they're spilling everywhere, and you're doing like the mixing the sodas and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
And now, yeah, you're right. Like, there's Smiley's Buffet in Saskatoon. And then like when it comes to old school buffets like that, yeah, they're kind of a dying breed.
I don't know if we have one anymore in Moose Jaw. We might have a Chinese buffet. Maybe there might be one left, but I think that's about it.
You guys are a sneaky good food city. Like, Moose Jaw has a lot of good places too.
Yeah. Have you ever, the number one place I always tell people to go to is Mad Greek. If they're coming to Moose Jaw, phenomenal food, but kind of a hidden gem is, have you ever been to Nitz Thai Food here?
Okay. No, I haven't heard Thai food's good there. No.
Oh, there is a place on Main Street, Nitz Thai Food. Now, you might walk in and go, yeah, this place looks kind of dingy. But listen, they're passing their food inspection, so that's the important part. The food, amazing. Like, just incredible. Like, genuine Thai food. If you've never been there, Nitz Thai Food, next time you're in town, give that a whirl.
I want, like, the worse the place looks on the inside, like, the worse the lighting, the better the food's going to be. That's what I think, right? Like, if they have the plastic plants in the corner, they have like a Buddha statue that hasn't been dusted since 2007.
Haven't been there?
Oh, right? Like, yeah, but that's the thing. You can just tell as soon as you said, oh, when you walk in, you might be like, eh. Every single one of those places is the exact same, where it's like when you have to tell someone the first season of Breaking Bad isn't great. You're like, but trust me, man, just wait. Just battle through the first season. It's going to be good. Same with those restaurants. I'm telling you, you're going to want to walk out as soon as you sit down. But just wait for the food. It's totally worth it. It's the exact same thing.
100%. Yeah, 100%. This place, a few people are like, I don't want to go there. It looks gross inside. I'm like, I'm telling you. Hey, once that food hits the table, you'll forget where you are.
You're a big golfer too, hey? So if I do some of these, I'm trying to find the best like sand green golf course.
Yeah. No, I think we should tag team some of those courses.
Yeah. Hague out here. The one in Hague by Saskatoon, there's a really good sand green golf course. Or like golf course where you have to pay the green fees in the mailbox. It's totally cool to not wear shoes, because half the course out there isn't wearing shoes, right? There's just kids in the bushes looking for balls, and they're not even golfing, right? They're just looking for all the crappy ones. We'll have like a good small town golf course category for Rostern and for Battleford and for stuff like that. But I don't know about you, I like crappy golf courses over those fancy golf courses with all their rules. And then there's snootiness and no outside liquor allowed. What's with that?
Have you seen our Leroy and Leroy's Guide to Golf?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh,
one,
we did
no.
exactly what you're talking about. We went to a small town golf course. So it was like halfway to Assiniboia, and it was sand greens. Drop your money in the box. Leroy left an IOU in there. I didn't have any money with me, so I just wrote an IOU.
They're
on
the fine
sheet.
With it. There's probably so many in there. Oh yeah,
they had some golf balls sitting out. In case you forgot your golf ball, it was epic, and there was not another single person on the course other than us that day.
The best, right? And you're just like, that's the thing. You and your kid going out there making memories. You don't have to worry about an old group ahead of you slowing everything down. You don't have to worry about wasting like $100 if you don't shoot well. Like, I'm a 17 handicap. I'm not a good golfer. Like, it sucks dropping $150 on a round and you're like, I just shot 103. And you're like, this was awesome, right? Oh, and I spent $30 on beers and had two. Like, oh awesome, right? Like, I love that for like the golf tournaments. Again, you being the big deal you are, you probably get to go to the odd golf tournament or two. So like those are fun. The big fancy golf courses doing the golf tournament thing, I do like that. But like I'd rather go to like Young, Saskatchewan. Like Young has a mean sand green golf course.
Yeah.
It's got like it kind of doubles as like the RV campground as well, that's a big green flag for small town golf courses. Literally in an old farmer's field. You can still see like cow patties from 10 years ago that are just fossilized in the fairway, basically, right? And it's just, yeah, this one's straight, this next hole's straight. It's a dog leg left, next one's just straight. It just goes back and forth, but that's what I like, man. It's not about the golf. It's just about the memories that you're making. And how can you not have fun doing something like that?
Absolutely. Have you ever been to a Top Golf?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we was it Vegas? Yeah, Vegas for a bachelor party.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous spot to start a bachelor party because you start gambling with the fellas, you start getting competitive. the waitresses and the service there is so good. Oh, can I have a beer? Boom. Can I have food? Boom. Next thing you know, it's like 6 o'clock at night. You just wasted a whole day at Topgolf having a blast and you're just like, oh man, I need to go take a nap. But like whoever invented Topgolf, kudos to them. That is a good idea.
We went for our first time. My family went down to Denver last week and we're like, let's go try out this Topgolf thing. And I'm thinking it's like a driving range. I'm like, we'll be there for an hour tops. Stayed there for a couple hours. I didn't know you could play like Angry Birds while you're on the range and all these like fun things that like anybody can play. And the service was incredible. And that's why you're talking about like liking like the small town courses where they're not like douchey.
Yeah.
Is like that's what Topgolf I was expecting to be like one of those big courses, but they're like the friendliest people on the planet there.
They got the mini golf in the back. They got the mini golf in the back too, and like they got what's it called? Cornhole and all the games. And like it's not just Topgolf. There's a whole arcade and stuff like that too, at least in the Vegas one. We should do small town Saskatchewan Topgolf. Where again, we don't have trackers in the balls. It's just a bunch of old top flights from like driving ranges at Holiday Park and at Deer Valley and stuff like that. We just get all those balls, and then again, we just go to a farmer's field and just plunk a bunch of sticks down there, and then you just sit there and shoot and just six pack of pill, $10. You get a bucket of balls for $10. Saskatchewan Top Golf. There you go.
I love this idea.
Dragon's Den wouldn't like that one. I don't think we'd get any investors for that one.
As soon as I get some clubs again, this is we moved houses in the fall and I still had a bunch of my stuff in my old garage. And like a month ago, I went over and the door was open and someone had stolen my kids' bikes and my golf clubs and some other stuff. So I've been searching for golf clubs and just got in touch with a company out of Vermont in the States. They're called Bomb Tech Golf. And they're sending me a set of clubs. I told them the story. They're sending me a set of clubs for me to try out. These are the coolest looking clubs you've ever seen. So hopefully I'll have them so we can kickstart this small town golf thing.
One thing I like doing when I'm looking for clubs, and you might need the situation if you need like a specific wedge or something like that. But you did a commercial for what's the sports equipment store there? It's not A1 Sports. What's it called there?
Extreme Hockey.
Extreme Hockey. I don't know if they have any golf stuff there, but my favorite thing is going to like a used sports store and going to their golf selection and seeing all the old clubs from back in the day, like the Westwoods and the Arnold Palmer wedges and all that stuff. I love going through all the old golf selection stuff. Like my golf clubs, they got stolen, I think, 5-6 years ago, but I just had a hodgepodge. I'm used club guy. Like Yeah, again, 17 handy, 17 handicap, golfing at Young, Saskatchewan. I'm obviously not taking golf that serious, right? So the funny thing is I had like, it was in, I was living in an apartment at the time, you know, the storage complexes that are underneath apartments, like big ones, they got like the, you know, they're just basically cages and they're fenced off and stuff. I had $2,000 worth of goalie equipment sitting right beside my golf clubs that were worth maybe $120. Buddy takes the golf clubs instead of all the goalie equipment. Could have had all, he could have had a pretty big score there, buddy. But instead, enjoy my Wilson Blackjacks from 2003. Have fun with those.
I don't mind. Same thing for me, except for the bag. The bag was worth more than the clubs were. I bought the bag at Costco a few years ago. It was a nice bag.
It's tough, too. When you get attached to a golf bag too, right? Like, you know where everything is, and it's tough to find a golf bag that matches that. Man, I love my golf bag. I didn't even notice that until you said it. I'm like, I'm lucky I have a good golf bag now. That was the one thing that came out of it, was getting this new golf bag, and I didn't know what I was missing. Before I had a golf bag with like three pockets, and I thought, ah, it's fine, you know, whatever, I'll battle. Man, now I have one with all the pockets, a little cooler thing on the side and all that. Like,
ooh.
Oh man, it's awesome, man. Golf bags have gotten legit.
I think the golf bag I'm getting has a cooler bag, so I'll have to see. This is I've never had one with a cooler pouch in it before.
What's the name of the golf company sending you clubs again?
Bomb Tech Golf.
Man, that's a good name. I thought it was Boom Tech, and then Bomb Tech's even better.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're just like a little company out of Vermont. They don't have like pros or anything on their name, but all the reviews of their clubs are great. And you know, for me, they're just cool looking clubs. They've got these volcano torched irons that look like kind of like that oil slick color.
Guy Fieri shirt, just golf club version. That's basically what you're going to be having out there.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that.
People make fun of his style, man. That guy's got good style. And like, he didn't let the haters tear him down. He kept rocking those, you know, bleached hair, weird sunglasses, fire shirts, man. That's his thing. Good on him.
Yeah. Whatever works for him, I suppose.
Yeah.
So I know you're a big sports guy. We got WHL playoffs going on here. What do you figure if the Warriors and the Blades wind up meeting in the conference finals? This is what everyone's hoping for, I think. Well, what do you think the result's going to be of that one?
I was going to wait for you to bring it up because I know you're a big Moose Jaw guy, but you know, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that cocky guy or anything, but. After that game one blunder against PA and all the Raider fans got all cocky after that. Oh yeah, we're going to, no man, the Blades are back. The wagon is back, baby. The three games after that game one loss, the boys just look back and invigorated. I was the guy on the microphone, like tossing t-shirts into the crowd and beef jerky into the crowd, doing like the make some noise for the boys. I was that guy for like 9 seasons and I got really attached to the Blades. And then, when the old radio job went, I didn't really want to do it anymore. So I was like, I'm just going to take a season off, go to the game with my kid. I miss it a lot. I'm not going to lie. Those are fun. But man, going to dub games are super fun. Like when your team's good. Going to Blades games back in the day when they were awful, it was a battle. You always got to support the local team. But you could attest, there was a couple bad Moose Jaw years where you're like, all right, got to go to the crush can and see Moose Jaw lose to Swift here 7-0. This is going to be a fun night. Hey, do you miss the crush can, by the way?
I do. There was something about that rink.
Yeah.
The running joke was that everyone said you could take your wife and your girlfriend to the same game as long as they sat on other sides because you couldn't see the other side of the rink. Because the whole rink
had that before. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I have. The whole rink had that slope, looked like a half pipe. And the energy in there was insane. I remember when I was a kid, we'd jump up and high five all the players after they scored because the glass was only about 3 feet tall. So you could reach your arm right over and high five. They'd come down the line, high five the bench, and then all the kids down to the corner of the rink. And there's something about the energy of that place. But Mosaic Place, I mean, or whatever it's called now, the Moose Jaw Event Center, is a phenomenal rink. It's been, it was much needed, I think, the upgrade, but definitely going to miss that old place. I love how the old radio gigs go is how many side hustles you can have. Cause when you were talking about doing the Blade stuff, I think for about the same amount of years, I did the PA and music for the Moose Jaw Warriors when I was in radio, right?
We're basically just the Moose Jaw Saskatoon version of each other. The bizarro version, right? Just down the road. Hey, we need someone from Regina doing random videos to Ryan Doka, the guy putting stuff in jars, seeing what happens. We're all just bizarro versions of each other there, hey? But the Pats suck, so we don't have to talk about Regina, so thank goodness.
Oh, no, yeah. The one thing especially is about, since Bernard left.
Oh, God. Like, the Crush Can, you couldn't match that character, right? It was, like, had, like, Whitney Forum vibes out in Flin Flon. Like, it just had, like, you're never going to make a rink like this again. Like, it just had character. The new rink in Moose Jaw just hasn't matched that intensity, matched that character, because it has all the bells and whistles. It's so, it's like a new shoe. Yeah. It hasn't been broken in yet. I think after this playoff series, it's going to be broken in, because I'll pump your tires for a bit. Moose Jaw's got a good team. Actually, they got a good five players. After that, it gets a little bit iffy. But, hey, those five players are awesome. Those five players are awesome. Jaeger Furkus, I mean, hey, fellow Ginge, I gotta represent for my redheads, right? You're doing great. You're doing the you're doing the Ginger community a service, Jaeger Furkus. You and Matt Bonner, you've done great things for the redheads, showing people we can play sports. Matejczuk's good. Jaeger's good. You got your goalie who gets like 18 shots a game. The Blades, though, the Blades got a whole team. That's the thing, though, and that's what everyone talks about. Like, our fourth line would be a second line on a lot of teams in the league. Everyone is old. Like, our playoff beard game, sometimes in the dub, you know how if you get a team of, like, you know, 16, 17-year-old guys, it's like, that's the playoff beards are rough. Man, we got some guys who are looking like Grizzly Adams out there. John Babcock, shout out to you. But there's a feeling, right? For the past 5 years when the Blades have been good, there's always been a hesitation, like, oh, they're going to blow it. They're the Blades. We're the Detroit Lions. We're the Detroit Lions of the WHL. We're the lovable losers. We're the Cubs and the Red Sox before they won. Like, we're cursed. That's kind of what it is. But this year feels different. Like, this year, it's excitement rather than nervous. Like, last couple of years, you're just nervous sitting there like, how are we going to blow this one? Now it's like, no, how are we going to win this game? How are we going to – it's kind of new for Blades fans. It's – as someone who had to pump the crowd up when they're down 4-0, and now they're the team beating the other team 4-0. It's pretty awesome to see. It was a lot of tough seasons, but it's nice that we're finally, you know, we were number one in the CHL for a long time. And I know that you're the diehard Warriors fan you are, so I'm going to keep pumping my team's tires because I know you can't stand it. And
it actually doesn't. You know what? If you were a Pats fan, it would probably drive me crazy. I love the city of Saskatoon so much that I'm okay with it. I'm a big Rush fan, obviously. I actually came up and did some stuff with Tourism Saskatoon, and they gave me that Blades jersey right behind me. And so I went to the game that night and I didn't even realize they were playing the Warriors. So there I was walking around in my Saskatoon Blades jersey as the Blades beat the Warriors in Saskatoon. That's I got a little bit of flack for that back home.
That might be just great scheduling from the Saskatoon Blades on their part. They're probably like, oh, yeah, let's get them here on Moose Jaw night and make them switch sides. Hey, that might just be a brilliant marketing campaign from them. And they've done some brilliant marketing campaigns, like their $5 night. It was like $5 beers, $5 tickets. I was handing out $5 bills every single whistle in the crowd, just like, yeah, whatever, right? Like, that was a good little promotion they have. They're, in the 2000s, like when I was a kid, when I was in elementary school, the Blades were kind of a joke. It was like, you know, we got Devin Setoguchi, that he's kind of good. Like, that's all it was really known for, right? And then all of a sudden, these past 5, 6, 7 years, it's been, now they're like, they're that cornerstone franchise they used to be in the 90s with Frank Banham and Wilm and Bielak and all those guys. So it's nice to see they're kind of back to their glory. It's like the golden era of being a Blades fan.
Yeah, I think I really want to see Moose Jaw and Saskatoon wind up.
We're making the trek back and forth. No, we're making the trek back and forth every single game too. We're watching the games together. We're getting really into it, really competitive. Yes. Oh yeah, I'm just, yeah. Some ugly sides of our personality are going to come out during those games because something happens. I'm a nice guy, but then all of a sudden you walk into the rink and like the rink smell hits your nostrils. All of a sudden it's like, all right, I'm back in Pee Wee again, baby. Like, strap on the skates. I'm ready to go.
I'm just ready for a deep playoff run. It's been a long time for the Warriors.
Yeah, one of my first. Be, yeah, when you guys get into the third round, it's going to be really, really good for you guys. That's a really long playoff run. You're going to be really proud of that 3-round playoff run. It's going to be good for you guys. It's going to be. Hey, we went 3 rounds last year too. It's a great little playoff run, right? You have nothing to be proud about this upcoming 3-round playoff run, but. If only there just wasn't a big, giant, scary, absolute wagon of a hockey team 2 hours away from you guys.
I think it'll be I think it's a coin toss if those two teams wind up making it that far. It could
They're so evenly
go either way.
No, like I have the video of you in the Blades jersey ready to go on Twitter to tweet out being like, oh, what's up? You're probably gonna clip this right now after this and be like, oh, talking a bunch of crap, hey Clayton. Oh well, look at this clip I have of you. So again, it could go, and Swift Current's also a good team too, ever since they got that Connor Geeky kid at the deadline, and their goalie Reed Dick has been standing on his head. They just swept Lethbridge. So they could be that team that's like sneaky good. You guys got to play them probably in the second round here too. So,
yeah, that's a team I really hate. I really, really, really hate the Broncos. It goes back to one of the early days in Mosaic. We had a 15-year-old Braden Point playing for the Warriors. Had just come up for the playoffs. Looked like he was 4'3" on the ice. His jersey was just about down to his knees. And Warriors knocked the Pats out. And I was doing the music, and I played the na-na-na-na, hey-hey, goodbye song. And then the next day, Rod Peterson wrote about how classless the music guy in Moose Jaw was in his blog.
Roddy Piper.
I was
really?
Like, look at that. I made Roddy's blog.
Rod can take some crap, too. You know, you ruffled some feathers when Rod Peterson gets pretty upset with you.
Yeah. So that was, but we wound up losing out in seven to the Broncos that year. And one of the greatest broadcast moments ever, Clayton, is James Gallo is in Swift Current calling like a double overtime game between Moose Jaw and Swift, and the Warriors score in double overtime. And as they score, the guy doing color commentary, good buddy of mine, Mark Smith, he actually works for the Moose Jaw Warriors now. Mark jumps up cheering and steps on the power bar.
No.
And kills the broadcast.
And it happens. Those booths, man, you think those broadcast booths are bigger. They're cramped, especially in those Saskatchewan barns, man. Like, oh, man. How old was he? Like, was he like an established broadcaster? Was he just kind of starting coming up, or?
What a minute, like, it was earlier days of radio, I think. Yeah.
That's devastating. Because then you think, oh, I'm never getting this chance again. Like, I just completely blew it. Oh, and those are the days too, and probably so many people are listening to the radio as well. Like, there's no online broadcast or stream or anything. Oh my goodness, my heart sinks for it. As a former radio guy, you can probably attest to that. Like,
oh yeah,
you can talk about your biggest blunder on the air, but it was again in Yorkton. They have a supper in the field. You know, the supper in the field contest where all the farmers call in. Well, it's 3:30 in the morning. I'm doing my graveyard shift. I knock over a bottle of water on the phone lines. And it's first day of supper in the field in 3 hours. And man, they probably get like 200 farmers calling in, putting their name in there. Well, the phone lines won't work. So I have to call the engineer who lives in, I think, Ituna. So like 20, 30 minutes away. So he's got to drive in there 3:15 in the morning, middle of December. Or no, was it December or March? I can't remember. But come in there, fix the phone. So pissed off. I just started 4 days before and I already spilt water all over like the most important equipment in the studio. And to that day, I never had water. I never had liquid in a radio station after that. At least I had it always to the side on another table or something. But your heart just sinks when you make errors in broadcasting. Remember when Elliot Friedman blew the Olympic swimming call when he gave it to Ryan Lochte instead of Michael Phelps, where he's like, Ryan Lochte has beat Michael Phelps. Oh, never mind. That was Michael Phelps. You remember that?
No, I don't. Anytime I think of any of those blunders, I think nothing will be as bad as when, what's his name? Family Feud host, Steve Harvey, announced the wrong winner of like the Miss Universe pageant.
That's a bad one. There was a global Saskatoon news lady who was notorious for having these bloopers and stuff like that. I remember it was there was a story about Pick a Flick video and she kept saying pick a dick or something like that. And it went super, super viral. Her name was Lisa. I think she works for Global Winnipeg now. But again, as a you laugh at them, but as a broadcaster, all I can think about is like, man, they're probably just going to be gutted after that, right? Like, just like, oh man, I blew it. Oh man, like, and there's no hiding it too. When you mess up on the radio or TV, everyone saw. You can't hide it in some paperwork or something like that. Like everyone saw you screw up.
Well, that's 100% true. I remember being, this wasn't live on air, but we were, it was at the old hometown fair. I was the summer events guy for the radio station. You know how you come into that gig. And they sent me there to introduce this country band that was playing at the hometown fair. And I got on stage and I forgot the guy's name.
Oh no. Did they end up being like someone later on in life, or was it
like ish? It did come to me afterwards. It was Aaron something. He wound up having a few, you know, Canadian country songs, but he was just a jerk to me after that. Did not like me. And then years later, I was music director, and his latest single came across my desk, and I went, yeah, I'll just pass on that one.
Oh, you burnt him again, hey? I think if that happens to you in that situation, like, this might be, you know, the fact that, you know, I had red hair and was picked on because I had, not picked on, but you always get the ginger jokes growing up, right? So you get a thick skin, but you can laugh at yourself. People who can't laugh, like, man, you're a guy who can laugh at yourself, right? And, like, people who can't laugh at themselves in those situations that take themselves that seriously, I have a tough time sometimes with those people because I'm a very goofy guy. I don't take myself serious at all. If he would have just been like, yeah, I'm sorry, I like mumbled his name or something like that. Who am I again or something? Like, if he would have played it off, that could have been a kind of a cool thing, right? But then it kind of turned into some kind of an awkward thing, right? I hosted a comedy room and I did the exact same thing. I forgot the opener's name. But I tried to play it off, like I had it written down, like I had the program in my pocket, right? So I tried to like play it off, like, oh, and the very talented, oh man, I'm just gonna see what's on the menu today for in between. Oh, it's this guy. And I was just like, everyone could tell that I forgot this guy's name. And I was like, there's not a lot of worse. There, you can't come back from that too. Like, what do you say to that person? Like, yeah, sorry, you weren't memorable enough that I forgot your name.
It happens. It happens. Yeah. So you've done noodle bowls and chicken strips, and you're going to do golf courses, Zamboni drivers. What's next for your social media, Clayton?
I think I'm going to do donuts here in the next couple days because there's a lot of solid bakeries in Saskatoon as well. I'm going to do Saskatoon donuts and then small town bakeries. So again, I'm going to be in the summer. Like, the thing about doing Zambonis is that you really can't, you know, the games start 5-6 o'clock. So you got to go at night. And I have a 2-year-old, right? And he's kind of cool. I like hanging out with him. So, I like to be home with him hanging out. But the best thing now when summer rolls around, doing golf courses, I'm doing best small town bakeries because Wadena and Melfort and Indian Head, and I'm sure a lot of other small towns are like, no, we have the best. We're going to try and figure it out, right? Because a lot of smack talking in these small town bakeries. Man, Melfort has been talking a lot of smack, and I know Wadena does not like that, and I know Humboldt doesn't like that either. There's a bunch of, man, small town bakeries. They need to, we're going to have a little, small town bakery off. We're going to have the golf course thing, but the best thing is I can do that at, 9 o'clock in the morning. So during the day, leave Saskatoon, drive to these towns, do a round of golf, visit their bakery. Might do small town bar as well. I got some fun stuff coming up with Nokomis Brewing that we're going to team up and go to some small town bars every couple weekends. And but during the day, that's the best part. So you just leave the house at 9, do some small town wandering around, adventuring, and then come back and do the family thing. So I can't wait for the summer with all the golf course and the pastry stuff. It should be, someone's got to do it, right? So
absolutely. I love it. Where can people find you on social media?
Everything's just my name. I'm not really original, so it's just Clayton Croker. If you're a Mennonite, it's pronounced Craker. The Mennonite side of our family kicked us out, though. We're not allowed to talk to them anymore, so we go by Croker. Croeker, just, all the social stuff like that. I'm not on Nexopia anymore. They banned my account from Nexopia, so. Judging by your reaction, you're not a big Nexopia. You don't know about Nexopia?
Nope.
Nexopia was even before MySpace. It was like the OG, and it was bad. Oh, it was basically for emo kids. That's basically what it was for.
So. Gotcha.
But yeah, just gotcha. Yeah, TikTok and Instagram. I got a lot more Zamboni videos coming up. I'm actually doing a live one from the Blades game tomorrow. So I'm going to be wearing my suit and Bob Barker mic and everything, and I'm going to be doing play-by-play for Zambonis for 8 minutes. I don't know if I've really thought this idea through, but
you going to the Rush game Saturday night?
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, we'll see you at the old game. I appreciate you coming on the podcast, Clayton.
Oh, I appreciate you letting me on the podcast, man. You're an absolute legend. I've been watching your videos forever. And again, now that I'm making these silly Saskatchewan videos, you kind of blazed that trail, man. You kind of made being a Saskatchewan content guy cool, because doing your cool sign stuff and showing off a unique side of this province, that's exactly what I want to do, right? And you kind of did exactly that. So, man, I just want to say thanks for everything you do, man, because you're one of the OGs, man, when it comes to Saskatchewan internet people, man. You killed it. You're doing great.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I can't wait to get on the golf course and hit some sand greens with you this summer. And go check out Clayton on social media. Thanks again, Clayton.
Yeah, go Blades, go.